Hello, and welcome to Little Victories, the podcast. My name is Kathy Brophy, and I'm so glad you're here. The inspiration for this podcast comes from a conversation I had many years ago with my dad. I was actually in my late 20s, going through a really rough time, trying to share something that I was struggling with. And my dad stopped me mid-sentence and said, "Kath, it's okay. I already know." And I said, "Dad, how do you know?" And he said, "When you love someone, you pay attention." My hope is to bring regular, ordinary people, amazing people, that are winning battles that we know nothing about, in the hopes that my listeners can maybe find a connection, a takeaway, and create little victories in their own lives. So let's get to it. And hello and welcome. And I have Louisa Muir here from Family Constellations. And hi, Louisa. It's so nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to be talking with you. So I'm going to share a little story here for my listeners. All right. So this is how Louisa and I met. It's last February, and it's probably a month before that, so we were talking January. I was feeling like I needed to get away. And I had three criteria for what this little getaway needed to have. So the first one was that at the end of whatever I did, I needed to come away moved. That was number one. Number two was I wanted there to be some good food. And number three was I wanted the opportunity to be able to be by myself and spend some time by myself. So I open up this catalog, Tocopilo, and bam, what hits me in the face is Family Constellations. So before we talk about Family Constellations and we get to learn about who you are, I have a question that I ask all my guests. So here you go. So if you had a song that played every time you walked into a room, what would it be?
This is such a good question. I don't know if I have a song, but I have definitely an artist that absolutely comes to mind, which is just musically one of my greatest heroes, I guess, if you can even say that, which is Sun Ra. And there is no per se one of his songs, but just one of the greatest musicians, improvisers, Afrofuturists, just incredible. Incredible human being and beyond, even beyond human being. So it would be that would make me smile and move and internally happy, I think.
Okay, thank you for that. So now I want to let people learn a little bit about who you are and what you do, the incredible work that you do. So if you wouldn't mind just sharing, who is Louisa? Share as much as you would like about that, who you are, and then we'll talk about Family Constellations and that work.
Thank you. Yeah, my name is Louisa Moore. I am an artist and mostly work with interdisciplinarily. So I work with the voice and the body in terms of movement. And I'm also a family constellation practitioner. I was born and raised with this work. I was born and raised in Austria, near Vienna, and was very fortunate to, at a very early age, be exposed to this work, be a part of this work, starting at age 9. And then when I was a young teenager, started diving into constellation work as a participant as well. So I started participating then. And my mentor, Dr. Peter Orban, who is a German astrologer and family constellation facilitator and psychotherapist, he basically led these seminars, these workshops at my place where I grew up. So I had it in the house, the work constantly. And so I was very fortunate to learn with him and from him. And yeah, have been doing the work since. In many different ways. And that's just really how I see the world, how I walk through the world. And my my art is very, very much based in improvisation as well. And I find that family constellation work also teaches us so much about being, just being in the moment and listening, because we can't really predetermine anything that will happen. Yeah.
So for someone like me, who went there, and I just, so I'm going to do a shout out, by the way, if anybody who was with me that weekend at Kripalu, I'm saying hi, I'm sending out peace and love to each and every one of you. You know, I read the description and I was like, okay, this sounds kind of cool. And so I guess for people that don't know what it is, maybe if you can talk about what it might look like, feel like, what would, you know, they experience potentially?
Yeah, great question. So much, so much is the short answer. It's really a deep dive into the soul. We call this soul work. So we work with our interior landscape, maybe more so than with our exterior landscape. However, of course, the interior landscape does affect the exterior landscape. What I mean by that is that it's almost as if you imagine that your soul had, it's almost like a blueprint or an image, and that might change every day, how that slightly shifts and moves. I think it's in constant movement as we get older, with every day that we get older. And we basically almost take this soul image, your internal, and place it in front of you, so you can actually have a look at what's going on internally. And how we do that is by the help of representatives, what we call representatives. So we ask people who are part of the workshop to step in and represent certain family members, certain people connected to our family system. Doesn't have to be necessarily blood related. We constantly find out throughout this work that there's other people who are connected to our family system who might not even be blood related. So we set these people up, and these are workshop participants, other people like you, right? Mm-hmm. You might have never met before. Mm-hmm. And then through the feedback that we're getting from the people as they're connecting with what we call the field, which is our energy field that we work with, by being set up in the space, that then I'm, as a facilitator, can start moving, really following these healing movements and opening up any blocks that a person feels in an existential way in regards to a certain topic. So we go constellation by constellation. Each is a separate issue that we address. Yeah.
And so again, I'm talking more for people that might be a little curious but not know. So when you talk about the constellation, that's the story that they share with you in that moment. Like, so you've never heard it before, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, I have never heard it before. Yeah.
And so have you ever been in a situation that you were really like, wow, this one is a little bit tough and I'm not necessarily feeling it? Or do things, as you're doing it more, do you find a lot of similarities with a lot of what people share in some of the themes?
Yeah, I think over the years, absolutely. What I started seeing is that there's a lot of overlap. There's a lot of overlap in themes, of course, that are affecting people. There's a lot of overlap even in terms of how things actually start playing out or how things systemically look like once we set them up. And so, at the same time, everything is very individual, of course, because every system is slightly different, right? So it really is very specific to the person. But what this work really teaches us in a very beautiful, deep way, and not in a heady way or in a more, you know, under quotation marks, spiritual way, but more in a very deep embodied way, is that we find that underneath really even the deepest layer of anger, hate, fear, that there's always an underlying very deep love between humans really in a system, mm-hmm. And even across systems. And that's where that's really, you know, even when you work for quite a while, that's when you start seeing, wow, we all can actually reconnect to that base. And this is what this work has been teaching me, has been, yeah, teaching my groups that I lead. Yeah.
So across systems, what does that mean?
Good. So each person is in their own family system. And again, the people who also count to that family system might not be blood related to you. That can mean your great grandfather was on, or your grandfather was on the battlefield, and one of his best friends died next to him on the battlefield, and he might have survived, as an example. What that means is that we're looking at fate in a way. So when fate collides with another fate in a very existential manner, in a life and death manner, that, or somebody had a great first love, for example, and that person died and then they married, you know, the great grandparent of, like, your great grandparent, as an example. And nobody ever knew about this first great love. This first great love can play a very big role, actually, in your family system. And so we give people a place in our family system, people who don't have a place in our family system yet, but who are important and who will balance any inequality out in our family system, or any inequality is not quite the right word, any imbalance. Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So across family system would just mean that one family system collides with another family system through fate, really, through an event that is larger than life, larger than human. That might be, yeah, a death. That might be, you know, even in heavier situations where mass murder, massacres, right? Fates collide. Yeah.
So this may not. So I've heard of drama, like theater. Sometimes when I talk to people about this, they say, oh, that's like theater drama. Like, you know, is it similar or different to that? If you can clarify it so people can understand the difference between what you do and some of that.
Yeah, also a great question. I get that a lot too. So what's really important, unlike maybe in psychodrama or drama therapy, where sometimes you might reenact a certain situation, a traumatic situation, and you might reenact it with also the verbiage, et cetera. So almost a bit like a scene, so you can then work through that trauma. We don't reenact anything. So there is no acting component to it in the sense that we're going into an exact situation in the setting up of the family system. We're looking kind of at the larger well-being of the whole family system. So maybe less at a certain event, but the event could have led to an imbalance in the family system. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of looking a little further in regards to where is the imbalance in the family system? Who doesn't have a place yet in our family system? Who doesn't have their rightful place in our family system mm-hmm. yet, et cetera. So that is kind of the big difference, is that there is no, for the people who are being representatives, they're not acting. We're actually just listening. I always keep saying that this work is so much about listening. Mm. So we're listening to any inner movements that might come up as we're being set up. And as really the constellation takes place, it's a lot about listening. And for me too, a lot about listening.
Yeah. I'm actually just remembering, obviously, my weekend, and another way to think of it is this creates awareness that you never really had before. Mm. Yeah. What keeps you in the work? What's incredible about it for you?
To me, what's incredible for me is that I have to be in the moment 100,000%. Every single molecule of myself has to be 100% open, listening, and aware of what's going on in the space at all times. So to me, that is so incredibly exciting. It's just something that is, it's such an honor, and it's every constellation is a teaching moment for me as well. Because there's nothing that I can predetermine whatsoever. I might have an idea if somebody shares a situation, if somebody shares an issue, I might have an idea, oh, this might go there, because I've just done so many and I've seen so many and I've been in so many in my life that I have a bit of an overview of, oh, I think this dynamic might be that dynamic, right? However, sometimes I get surprised. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, most of the time you might get surprised. And so I don't ever cling onto anything that I know. You know, if you think about it in regards to, you know, let's say, think about it in a doctor's room, this patient has this and the symptom, you take pill A, B, pill B, or you do, I don't know, physical therapy or et cetera. Right. Mm-hmm. So I can't fully apply that with this work, because every time it might be completely different, even if I think it is that. So there's no per se textbook, you do this when this happens. However, over time and over the work of so many family constellation therapists over the time, we have practitioners, we have just kind of accumulated a bit of a sense of, okay, I think this structure, this dynamic in the system might mean that. And if we move towards here, it might open. However, it can prove you wrong at any given point. And that to me is so exciting, because some of us might be control freaks in their private lives. Yeah, I certainly have total control freak aspects of myself in my private life, where I'm like, I want this like this, and this has to be like, and I cannot ever do that. It just doesn't work. And I think that's also why I'm an artist as well, because art does the exact same thing. And so having found that overlap actually in both these works has been very interesting for me.
Yeah, so you brought that up, and it probably leads into it. So I was going to ask you, when you spend time for like a weekend or doing a session and hearing probably really, really, really tough things that people share, right? And that's probably an understatement. I was going to ask, what do you do to kind of clear yourself out to get ready for the next one? And you talked about the fact that you're an artist. So maybe if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I have to say, every facilitator is different, and for everybody, it will be a different answer. I can only speak for myself, and I fortunately have the ability. I'm very good kind of moving into energy, moving out of energy fairly quickly without holding on to something too much. So I've always felt that ability about myself, and I think this is also why this work comes very natural to me in that sense. So I feel I can step into a very intense energetic moment and energy in the space, and then also be able to get out of it, step out of it right away, and not being incredibly affected by it necessarily. It can, you know, things can linger a little bit, but especially as a facilitator, I have a different capacity than if I'm representing or if I'm participating in the workshop. So I don't feel per se the need that, you know, of course it's very energetically, draining is not the right word. It's just, it takes a lot to hold space all the time. Energetically, I might sometimes feel completely exhausted after, you know, a week of maybe I've seen 12 people that week, or maybe more, maybe less. Maybe I've led a workshop in addition. And so sometimes I think for me, it's more about resting and listening physically to my body, which sometimes I'm a bit of a plower througher. So I'm just like, oh, let's work. Let's keep going. You know, and then sometimes I forget a little bit. Oh, right. Self-care. Right? So in that regard, just in terms of, oh, maybe today I need a resting day, that kind of, I like working a lot. So I just keep at it. And, you know, art to me is also, that's also my work. And it also can be equally a lot of work, and maybe energetically sometimes overwhelming. And you know, if I go on tour, I just came back from a tour of a performance series, and we just work day and night. And it was also, it's very, sometimes you build everything yourself, right? Or sometimes the people you're working with, they build everything. You have to like set everything up, and you have to take everything down. And then it's 2 a.m. in the morning. You still have to drive for an hour, stuff like that, where you're, but it's all a part of the work. So I feel very grateful and honored to be in those spaces and to be a part of those spaces and create those spaces sometimes also. But yeah, I think to me that's it's all a positive. But of course, you can feel overwhelmed at times. I do sometimes feel like I'm just holding a lot of space, or I'm yeah, or I'm just being asked to hold a lot of space, mm-hmm. and that's okay, because that's also my job. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. It's in a way that's a part of my calling, I think, on this plane, in this life, at least. Yeah.
So if somebody, after hearing this, is curious and interested, how do they find out more about it? How do they contact you?
Yeah, great. I'm at, you can find me at familyconstellationsnyc.com. That's my website, familyconstellationsnyc, all in one word, .com. And I'm based in New York, but I work a lot virtually as well. That means I do one-on-one sessions as well with people. There's also workshops happening virtually for anybody who's interested, who's calling from out of town. And a lot of also international attendance. So it's been really gratifying and beautiful to also learn from people all over the world. You know, different stories come to you. It's mm-hmm. been really magical that way. And definitely a great teaching. You can find me there. All my workshops are listed there. You can sign up for my newsletter if you're interested in being in the loop for upcoming workshops. And yeah, once a year, I'm doing a longer workshop at Kripalu, the one you went to last year. The next one coming up on December 1st for another 3-day one. And yeah, otherwise I teach 2 monthly workshops in person in New York as well. And yeah, please come find me.
All right. So as we're going to start to wind down a little bit, this is another little fun thing I like to do at the end. As we wind down, I'm just going to start a statement and then just invite you to finish it.
Great. Okay.
Okay. So here we go. I wonder.
What's next?
I feel
a lot.
I notice.
People in pain.
What I know to be true is
caring is essential.
Oh, I love that. All right. So we're going to end my podcast the way I end all my podcasts, as a tribute to my dad. And I'm going to start the statement and you're going to finish it. When you love someone,
you pay attention.
Thank you, Louisa. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.